Hey, how you doing? Hey, my eyes are up here. Stop staring at my boobs. God, this happens to me all the time.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
If you like that sort of thing.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Good to be with you today. It's nice to be amongst you. I am amongst you. Here I am. I'm over here. Now I'm over here. Now I'm over here. Welcome. A lot of things going on in the world, but I'm not going to talk about them. Everybody's talking about everything. Not here, babe. You want to get away from things for a little while. Not that this is an escape thing, but, you know, you got to, like, survive. You got to take care of yourself. So let's sit back for a little while here and have a few laughs and just take it on all in and take an hour in and just let's have a hot dog together, huh? You start at that end, I'll start at this end, and who knows what'll happen in the middle. That's disgusting. That's just disgusting. I won't even drink out of the same glass as somebody else, much less eat a hot dog by starting on both ends. Give me a break with that. Saw a commercial on television yesterday. Most of my life happens through commercials and through television. At least it's the catalyst for things. There was a commercial for a place called, I don't even want to say the name, but apparently they're saying that, see now, there used to be diet pills when you want to take the weight off and you want to look really good. Everybody wants to look good for each other. I don't care what I look like. I just want to make sure that you like what I look like. We lose weight. Yeah, of course it's for ourselves so that we feel better and all that kind of crap. But it's really so people will walk down the street and see you and go, ooh, that's a handsome man. Oh, that's a good looking woman. That's what we care about, how we look to other people. That's why we have pretty people on magazines. There aren't pretty people on magazines so they can feel good about themselves. It's so you can gawk at them. People like to be gawked at. When someone comes up to you and says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You've lost weight. That makes you feel so good. But it doesn't make you feel good because you have embedded yourself. It makes you feel good because somebody likes the way you look. Somebody's saying, I like the way you look. And I am so, I can see. It's remarkable. You're looking really good, man. That's what makes us happy when we're perceived properly. And then we're always shocked, you know. Did you lose weight? I actually didn't, but I'm not going to tell them that. They're having such a good time grooving on me. I'm not going to tell them that I've actually gained a few pounds. I had spaghetti and a huge cow last night for dinner. But I'm not going to tell them. Let them enjoy me. Sure, I lost weight. Yeah. Yeah. why ruin the moment? So there's a commercial on television for something called Cool Sculpting. Have you heard of this? Apparently, you go into this place. It's not a hospital. It's just a place. It's a storefront. And you lie down on a table, and they take this machine, and they put it on your belly, which is usually where your weight is. That's the area you want to slim down. And it makes it cold. It kind of like freezes you. But it's not that cold that you go, ooh, it's freezing. It's just a little cool. It's cool sculpting. It's not cold sculpting. And apparently it freezes the fat cells. This is what I understand. This is the technical explanation. It freezes the fat cells. And apparently the fat cells, like, because they're frozen, they fall off of their fat cell holders. I don't know what it is. And they just flush out with the body when you go to the bathroom. And over a course of usually about 4 to 5 months, you start to see the difference. Now, this is where I get a little suspect. Anything that you do where they say you're not going to see the difference for about 5-6 months when we're out of business and you can't sue us anymore. Oh, well, you're not going to see the difference immediately. Oh, that's a shame. I'm doing this because I have a date tomorrow night. No, you're not going to see the difference immediately. It's going to be about 18 to 25 years. And even then, but it's going to work. The fat cells will, this will kill the fat cells. It'll freeze them cold so that they can't fat around anymore. And then when you go to the bathroom, all the fat cells will spill out. In about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months, 7 to 12 to 15 years. And it's only thousands and thousands of dollars. By the way, anytime you see a coupon or see an ad on television and they say, call now and you can get $1,000 off our price, you know it's an expensive deal. It's not going to be a $1,500 procedure. And you get $1,000 off with the coupon. Now it's only $500. It doesn't work like that. Anytime they say, if call now and you can save $1,000, you know you're going to be ripped up really bad. It's going to cost billions of dollars to have this done. Anyway, it's called Cool Sculpting, I think. And you have to go in 7 or 8 times or whatever. And each time they're freezing your fat cells. And you leave and you see no difference whatsoever, yet they promise you someday, you probably will, if you wear tight enough pants. And then they'd say, and then after they cool sculpt you, they say, and you should wear like a harness or something to make sure that, you know, to keep your tummy tucked in and stuff. So, okay, sure. That way I can look skinny, but I'm really not. Is that what you're telling me? I know some people that had cool sculpting. There's various forms of it, so I'm not saying this is a blanket statement. I'm not making a statement about a blanket. Cool sculpting might work. People that I know, it didn't work, and this was more than 6 months ago, so by now it should have shown a little bit. I get, and what they do, they have you come back so they can measure you, and I think they switch tape measures. I think it's a gigantic magic trick. I think it's a magic act at in Vegas or something. They measure you with a tape measure where the markings are all off, you know. And then when they remeasure you, they switched to tape measure B, which has different markings on it. So now you don't have like a 40-inch waist, you have a 40-inch waist. That's what it's remarkable. I've lost 3 inches, but I look the same. Yes, but tape measures don't lie. No, unless you switch tape measures to the phony tape measure. Oh, you found us out. There goes our entire business. You found us out. We switch out tape measures probably. I don't even know. Maybe I don't know. And, of course, the person interviewing, when you go down for information, is a free consultation. Free. It's a free consultation. and you sit down with them and they just talk you into it. You know, they show you pictures before and after, and you go, oh my God, I can see the difference. And then you have the cool sculpting done and you go, these aren't the same pictures as the other people. I'm not seeing the difference. Oh, you will in 7 to 12 millenniums, you'll see the difference. So, and they've always used this thing if on exercise equipment on television, diet pills on television, weight loss things on television, on the bottom of the screen, and I guess they have to put this there, and it's not in big letters, it's in very, very small letters on the bottom of the screen. You have to be like standing right on top of your television screen to see it. It says these words every single time. It says, results not typical. Okay. That's the clue. If there was ever a red flag, it couldn't be redder. They're talking you into selling you. You're going to lose weight. You're going to look fantastic. You're going to be skinny and thin. You can hold up your pants in front of you and show that you've lost an entire person weight-wise. But at the bottom of the screen, but that's not going to happen to you. That's not a typical thing. Somebody losing weight, that's not typical. That's not typical. People take our diet pills all the time. And nobody loses weight like this. It's not typical. It's just not typical. And we still buy this stuff. And we still do it. Even though it says on the freaking screen, the stuff that we're saying is going to happen, that's not typical. That's not going to happen to you. We got about 7 million people taking our diet pills. Typically, nothing really happens. You see these pictures of these skinny people who used to weigh like 5 times as much? Typically, that doesn't happen at all. It happened once, actually, and the guy actually had an operation afterwards, so it's not typical. It's not typical at all. That's like a travel agency. They come to Italy. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. Our tours are impeccable. And yes, I love the tour. It was fantastic. And then the bottom of the screen, it says, that's not typical. Everybody had a crappy time. But here's one guy that had a great time. But actually, that's not typical. That's most people, they pretty much think it sucks. Oh, well, okay. Let me buy this immediately then. Oh, God. Yeah, we're gonna paint your house. Here's some pictures of houses that we've painted. Well, that's very, very nice. Well, that's not typical. I mean, usually it's a mess. We usually leave paint all over the lawn and splotches all over the place, and you can see the imperfections all over the place. That's typical. The pictures of the beautiful house here that we've painted, this impeccable job, that's not typical. Those results aren't typical. Oh, okay. We'll hire you immediately then. Okay, great. I don't understand us. I don't get us. We're lured by shiny objects. Even the President of the United States thinks that he can show us a shiny object and we'll just stare at it and go, "Ooh, whatever you say, Master. Yeah, whatever you say." Life is a gigantic magic show. It's a smoke and mirrors. People promise you things, say things to you, and they never come through. It doesn't really happen like that. It's a magic trick. And we know it's a magic trick, but we keep watching it, and we're astounded by it, even though we know those results aren't typical. How many people get married every year? Raise your hand if you get married every year. Look, a lot of you. As a side business, I'm in the wedding business. I do wedding videography. I see people getting married every week. And I feel like walking up. I don't do this, of course. If I did, I wouldn't be in the business. But I feel like walking up to them and saying, do you realize that more than half of the marriages in this country end up in divorce? What the hell are you doing? What are you doing? Yes, but our results aren't going to be typical.
Oh, I see. I see. You're the ones where it's not going to be typical. I see.
It's smoke and mirrors, man. It's smoke and mirrors. We know that marriages don't work for the most part. They do at first. Then you have some trouble. You work on them. Then they're a little bit better. Then something happens and you take it out on each other. And you can't stand each other at a point, and the grass starts to look greener on the other side again. And about 50%, maybe not that many now, but pretty close to half of all marriages end up in splitting up and divorce. But yet we still do them. Those results are not typical. That's what the priest or the rabbi should say when they're marrying people.
John, do you take Mary to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Mary, do you take John to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
Even though these results are not typical, I pronounce you man and wife. Good luck, because this result probably will be typical, or not typical, or typical, or not typical, or typical, or not typical. Perhaps they'll be typical, perhaps won't be typical. In other words, you're going to be screwed one way or the other. These results are not going to be typical. They're not typical. These are not typical results.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, winner of every international and global podcasting award Ron has given himself. He writes them in crayon, on construction paper. It's actually kind of cute.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to be speaking to Siomara Padamsi. She's the CEO of Promise 54. Wasn't that a television show back in the 50s? Well, that's Car 54. That's different. That's different. I was passing by a restaurant yesterday in Brookline, Massachusetts. It's a restaurant chain. There aren't too many of them. It's called the Capitol Grill. Actually, we had a chef on from the Capitol Grill about 2 weeks ago, talking about the Capitol Grill and about wine tasting, and he was a sommelier, a wine expert. Those are people who walk around with cups around their chest. They have a little cup on a chain around their neck. These are sommelier. They're wine experts. And he was with the Capitol Grill. Capitol Grill is a fascinating place. Fascinating place. It's a high-end steak place. And I'm just, you know, I have to be careful here. It's very infrequently that I decide that I'm going to spend $90 for a steak. If I spent $90 for a steak dinner, for me, just for one person, I would try to make sure I never went to the bathroom again, because otherwise that investment of $90 in a good tasting steak, as soon as I go to the bathroom, it's pretty much done. It's been through my system. It's out. We're done. There's $90 literally down the drain. I would make sure that I had a lot of cheese with it so that I'd never go to the bathroom again.
Yes, I had a $90 steak dinner last week, and I gotta tell you, it's still with me. I'm gonna let that baby sit with me as long as possible to get the most out of my $90.
Here's what I never understood about restaurants. I never understood this. The balance between alcoholic beverage and food. I never figured it out. The typical price of an alcoholic beverage, not your stupid beer and wine crap, but a regular alcoholic drink, a martini, a cocktail, they typically are about $10. In the finer places, they're up to $15-16. If you have a cocktail for lunch, the cocktail will cost more than your lunch does. And I never understood that balance. If you have a sandwich or a hamburger for lunch, that's going to cost you around $8, $9. You'll even get a little side salad with it, usually. Not so bad. You sit there and you say, well, I'll have a cocktail with my lunch. And that's like $12. Now your cocktail has cost more than your food did. How could that ever make sense to me? If you order food, there's a couple of people there in the kitchen. They're putting your lunch together. They're cooking something up. Maybe they're heating up the steak for the steak and cheese. They're melting the cheese. They're putting the bread in the oven to make it crispy. They made a side salad for you, whether it be a potato salad or maybe a tossed salad. They're tossing it. They cut up the vegetables. There's some work that goes into preparing that food for you. They're buying the ingredients of the food as well. They're going out to buy those ingredients. You've got some lettuce on it, some tomato. You got the bread you bought, the salads and all the vegetables in it. And they're putting that in, and then they take the time to grill your hamburger and make it just perfect and stick that toothpick in it and maybe give you a pickle. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of time. The oven's on. Things are going on, man. You got a couple of people working on that baby for you. And then you order an alcoholic beverage. Here's what happens. The bartender walks over to a bottle, pours it into a container, throws some ice in it, shakes it up, maybe puts just a little dab of vermouth in it or something like that. So far, we've expended approximately 12 seconds, and we've gotten one dirty glass in the mix. You shake it up, you pour it into this glass with ice, throw an olive into it. About 15 to 20 seconds later, you've got your alcoholic beverage. Took no time, took no energy, just used like maybe an ounce and a half of alcohol out of a bottle. That was it. That's $12. How does that make any sense to you? It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. How can that small gesture of making you an alcoholic beverage for 15, 20 seconds with minimal effort, how can that cost more than all the ingredients and all the preparation that it took to put your lunch together food-wise? It makes no sense. That's why there's people like me in the world to point this stuff out. Because if I wasn't here to point this out, it would make sense to you. But it doesn't make sense. It can't make sense. There is no sense. Even a child knows that.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. That's not true. That's fake news. That's not true, honey. That's not true, lady. We're going to talk about diversity in education. I did this interview about an hour ago. We recorded it because it was like way too early for me to deal with. And I've got to tell you, listen to it carefully. I usually don't do this or say this, but I've done thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of interviews in my life for radio. And some of them, I don't understand what the hell I'm talking about. I did not understand this concept, this whole thing. I did an entire interview, and I didn't understand what I was talking about. but I was good at hiding it. Here's the interview. See, Amaran Padamsa joins us now. Did I get the name?
Good morning.
How are you? Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. She's a CEO with Promise 54. We're talking about diversity in education, and specifically the kindergarten through 12th grade. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, I know that some type of a survey or study was done recently.
Absolutely. We just completed a survey in the field and are releasing today our report on realized impact. We surveyed 200 organizations. We had 5,000 respondents. And we're looking to understand the state of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the field of education in the United States.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff. Okay.
It's a lot of stuff. Right. It's a lot of stuff, and we're excited about what we've learned.
You can tell my education by responding with, that's a lot of stuff. Okay. Anyway. All right. So this is fascinating. Now, how did you compile all this data?
Over the course of about 6 months or so, we collected information from each of those organizations and from staff members within them. So these are schools, their charter networks, their nonprofits in the K-12 education space in our country, covered 37 states, and then we went through a process of analyzing and pulling out a bunch of really critical insights to help the field to drive forward on our efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay. Now, has this been a positive impact? I assume it has been.
It has, in fact. We are very excited about some of those important insights. So, for example, we were able to show through data that the ratio between students of color within the education system within the United States that's continuing to rise is still unbalanced as compared to staff members, mm-hmm. and that imbalance increases as they become more senior within staff members within schools and nonprofits serving kids.
Okay. So how has this benefited the systems in a sense? Is there a financial benefit, an educational benefit? What are the parameters?
Yeah. Well, we absolutely, our survey respondents see an educational benefit. They see outcomes for students impacted by their efforts around diversifying their organizations and around building more inclusive cultures and more fair and equitable systems. Mm-hmm. And we hope by getting this data into the hands of lots of leaders in our field, it will help fuel them to figure out what are the most promising practices uh-huh. and start doing them with consistency to drive forward.
Okay. Have they found any benefits to the socialization of the pupils in the diversity area?
Yeah, absolutely. So the study goes beyond just diversity. So diversity refers to the demographics, but inclusion refers to a sense of belonging. And so when we think about inclusion, we think about a sense of feeling like I belong here. And the more we can help our teachers, our school leaders, our nonprofit leaders to have that sense of belonging within their organizations, the better equipped they are to help students to have those feelings in their classrooms.
Okay. Did you find any geographical differences in how the program is effective?
Yeah, you know, our study, as I think I mentioned, covered 37 states and D.C.
Right.
We did not disaggregate by geography just yet. So we have some really important findings across the country that we're in the process of sharing and we're excited about. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in the future we'll disaggregate by region.
Mm-hmm. And how is this information dispersed back? In other words, you get the information, do the survey, you have results. How do those factions find out about the results that were discovered, and how do they utilize that information?
Absolutely. So they can anyone can today on our release day log on to unrealizedimpact.org, mm-hmm. and on that site they can download the executive summary, they can download the full report with all the findings, they can even explore the data by interacting with the data and get a better sense for what we found. And then they can use those findings to help drive their practices forward within their organizations, mm-hmm. and they can even sign up to connect with each other to help support each other.
Okay, that's great. Do the schools, do you find, do they share that information with the community, or is it somewhat internal?
Yeah, I think it depends. Some leaders have practices of bringing together community members, family, and sharing what they're learning over time. Others tend to focus it more behind the scenes. It really kind of depends on the school leader and their approach.
I got you. All right, so once again, where do we go to see this information for ourselves?
Thank you. It's unrealizedimpact.org. You can see the information. You can download the study. You can even interact with the data or sign up for more information.
Fantastic. Thanks for the information today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Seymour. Thank you. So how'd I do? Did you like it? Did you understand what I was talking about? I didn't. I had no idea. I don't know. I have no idea what I was saying. I sounded like really professional, though, didn't I? I had no idea what I was talking about at all. I had no idea whatsoever. We could have been talking about hot dogs. I don't even know. Yeah.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on racks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight. Love hot dogs,
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell,
hooray for hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs, kids, love to fight.
What is a hot dog but a sausage? It is a sausage, that's all it is. Let's stop making them. Let's not glorify these things. Where did the term hot dog come from? Why is there a dog involved in this? Sure, when you're a kid, you actually think that it's ground up dog, which is one of the most disgusting concepts, especially if you have a pet. I don't know where this came from. Did it look like a dog's tail? No. It looks more like a dog's you know what. I don't understand that. Somehow when you put it in a bun, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. You know, you can eat a hot dog cold. They're already cooked. But don't do it. You'll throw up because it's disgusting. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. Don't do it. Again, I'm watching television. I flip around a lot. I used to do it as a kid. I do as an adult, even more so. I flip around from channel to channel. I watch nothing for more than 5 minutes, if that, if that. On QVC, one of the shopping channels, they are actually, and I'm not kidding you, I am serious about this, and it makes me sick. They are actually doing Christmas gifts. They are actually talking about Christmas. And it's not even close to Christmas, and they're selling Christmas ornaments and Christmas trees on television already. This has got to stop. There's got to be a law against this. You can't sell Christmas stuff when it's so far away from Christmas. You can't do it. But I can do this.
I don't want.
make you nostalgic or scared? Makes me scared. Enough. That's quite enough. That's enough. That'll be enough. That's enough.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your monthly New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have planned for you. Aquarius, your life lately is the result of a lot of really questionable choices. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do see a lot of Mexican prison food. Pisces, watch out for your evil twin. Not the one you already killed, the one you weren't aware of. Aries, in your endless search for meaning, remember to check between the couch cushions. Taurus, you've got a career change coming. You probably weren't thinking about it and didn't know about it, but your bosses and coworkers certainly have. Remember, friolators get really hot. Gemini, bad sushi means a good lawsuit. Mazel tov! Cancer, chances are pretty good that you are going to get hit by a bus or a derailed train. Leo, don't stand too close to Cancer. Libra, romance is in the air for you. So is a raging STD, thanks to Miss or Mr. Right. Or both. Virgo, start saving now for your dream vacation. Looks like the money will go to bailing out your quote-unquote Uncle Freddy again, but it's best to plan ahead. Sagittarius, exposure to a leaky microwave at a chemical plant will give you superpowers. Or some kind of really bad tumor, not exactly sure which one right now. Sorry. Capricorn, you are about to make two new best friends, tequila and despair. So stock up on limes and Kleenex. That's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
I'll be back with you again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, I wish you peace and Merry Christmas. What?